of an account in the Bible of Paul and Silas. When they were in prison and their feet in stocks, they had been beaten, and they start singing, and something happens. You know, for them, the doors were open, but no one fled. They stayed there. You remember the jailer came in, and he was about to kill himself because he was responsible for them. But instead, Paul and Silas told him, don't need to do that. We're all here. And immediately, his mind went to something. He had a question for them. What was that question? Just a real small little question. What must I do to be saved? You know, that'd be something that would even be his thought after all these things are happening. Looks like he'd just be so glad everybody's there, he'd lock them back up, go to bed. But instead, he's got some thoughts going through his head. What must I do to be saved? And what was the answer that was given? The religious world today will be saying that is the answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Not only you, but your house can also be saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know, sometimes I will have thoughts going through my mind of what it takes to be saved. You have to repent. And truly, the Bible does speak about repentance. But after repentance, we also would, I just, in my mind, here's the steps for salvation, is the things that I start learning from Scripture or from coming to services, the things that I should do, I start doing them. The things that I should not do, I stop doing them. And you know, Scripture will back that up. A verse over in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, it tells us that something is going to happen when you get saved. It says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So you know what? When he told him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, much of the religious world today says the same thing. All you need to do to be saved is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. You know what? That's true. But that believing goes deeper than just a head knowledge. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. You remember the scripture that says, the devils also believe and they tremble. So they also believe that he's the Son of God. They know he's the Son of God. Believing takes more than that. Remember to the Pharisees, they had a lot of things that they were doing so that they could make heaven. And you remember when Jesus talked to them, he didn't say, you need to quit all those good things you're doing. He said, these you ought to have done, but there are some other things that you've left undone. There's some more things in your life that need to be done that are important also. So the first step, because the Bible's filled with, if you go through the Bible and you say, I want instructions for how I am to live my life, you will find in it, it could be even as much as the Ten Commandments, giving us instruction of how God wants us to live our life. And that's important. But if we say the first step is, you must believe. You remember when Jesus spoke to Peter and he said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? When you're out here visiting with people out in the neighborhoods and all, who are they saying that I am? And they said, you know, some say you're this and some say you're that. But you remember he asked him and said, okay, who do you say I am? And what he said was, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, that's he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Believing is very important. But there's something else that I've been come to realize this week more. Is, you know, I can have my focus on the do's and the don'ts. And repenting of my past life before I got saved. And now I am working on the do's and don'ts. But you know what? Last week, Sister Maxine talked to us about the love of God. You know what? The love of God is before all of this, because we see it in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know what? Above my list of do's and don'ts that I need to have, I need to remember what's above it all, and it's Jesus and the sacrifice that he made for me. So before we start, I would like for us to sing a song together. It is number 420. Because you know what? I think it's real important for us. I don't know about you, but for me, I can spend a lot of time thinking about what's right and what's wrong, and we should. But you know what? I want to spend some time thinking about, more time thinking about the gift that was given so that I will be able to do the right and shun the wrong. Number 420 is us taking a look at that love. Behold what love, yes, love divine, the Father showed to thee, in that he gave his only Son, thy soul from sin to free. Such love cannot be fathomed. 'Tis like the boundless sea. His broken heart, so wounded, is bleeding now for thee. He gave his life to make thee whole. He shed his blood for all, to heal the body, save the soul, then come for mercy call. Such love cannot be fathomed. 'Tis like the boundless sea. His broken heart, so wounded, is bleeding now for thee. Oh, depths of love, to mortals lost he suffered on the tree. Our only hope of heaven cost, his blood was all for thee. Such love cannot be fathomed. 'Tis like the boundless sea. His broken heart, so wounded, is bleeding now for thee. The love of Christ is warm and free. We live because he died. His drops of mercy fall on thee and all the world beside. Such love cannot be found. 'Tis like the boundless sea, 'tis broken heart so wounded is bleeding now for thee. You know, sometimes we look at this subject at Easter time, and we think about the price that he paid. But you know what? I believe throughout the year, I need to realize, you know what? This is the beginning of salvation for me. And I would like for us to think about in ordinance service, when the minister passes around the grape juice, he doesn't say this is the blood of Christ. He says this represents it. This is trying to get my mind to thinking about the blood that he shed. And I'd like for us to look at a verse in Matthew 26 and 27. He took the cup, he gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." This represents my blood that is going to be shed. Remember the verses in the scripture that tell us, "Whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely." John 3:16 makes it available for whosoever will. We're going to find that there are some religious beliefs that say some people are predestined to go to heaven. Others are predestined to go to be lost and go to hell. That's not what John 3:16 says. "Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The choice is ours. And here Jesus is letting us know, going to shed my blood, and it's going to be intended for many for the remission of sins. It will be intended for everyone to be able to be saved if they'll make the choice to do it. I was thinking of the verse over in Acts 4 and 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved." Folks, there is nothing else that will save us but the blood of Jesus. It's not works of righteousness, lest any man should boast. There is nothing I can do of myself to gain salvation. It came as a gift through the blood of Christ. We sing a song sometimes, "Rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin a double cure. Save from wrath and also make me pure." It says, "Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. I cannot do enough good works to make heaven my home from good works. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. It only can come through Christ." Thought of this word, philanthropist. Person that has a lot of money and also has a lot of goodwill, desires to take that money and help people that are in need with it. You know what the Bible teaches that, to look for the needy and help them out. But you know what? That will not save him. He cannot give enough money to be able to buy salvation with good works. There are songs that we sing, many songs, and I would like for us to think about the value of songs that support the scripture. To be able to find what the scripture says and then to find, here's someone that had a testimony of that. Here's a song. "What can wash away my sins?" I need to just have this song going over in my mind all the time. "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." "What can make me pure within?" "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And it says, "Not of good that I have done." Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know what? It's going to be the blood of Christ applied to my heart, me accepting it. Believing is very important because it says, "I believe that you're Christ, the Son of God." And also that's going to take believing that when he died on the cross, that blood was shed as a sacrifice for me. I'd like to look over in 1 Peter in the first chapter. First 1 Peter 1 and 18. For as much as ye know you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. This is confirming by scripture what we've been looking at those songs saying. There's nothing that can buy your salvation. You don't have enough money, cannot buy it. But here it tells us what it was done with. 19th verse. So what does it say? The first part, you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, but here's what you were redeemed with. With the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. This is the top of our list of what brings salvation to me. You know what? I can be like the philanthropist. I can say, I've looked through the Bible and I found 150 things that I need to be doing. And I also see a whole bunch of them that I need to stop doing. And I'm going to do that. You know what? I've got to have the blood of Christ applied because that's what's going to be looked for when I stand before Him at eternity. So this one is saying, remember, it was the precious blood of Christ that has redeemed us. There is a song, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. That is what saves us. You know, if I'm not careful, I can go to the altar and say, okay, I know these things I've done wrong. Lord, I'm sorry for those things that I've done wrong. Forgive me of those things I've done wrong. And we need to do that. That is a part of the plan. But what I need to be seeing is in the back of my mind, here's what's really happening. I'm not being redeemed with going to Him and telling Him I'm sorry. That's necessary. I'm being redeemed because of the blood of Christ that was shed for me. There's a verse in 1 John. In 1 John in the first chapter. 1 John 1 and 7. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And what happens? The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You know what I need to realize? You know what? This is what the cleansing us from all sin is not, okay, it puts a blanket over everything I do in the future. I'm going to sin every day, but His blood covers that. No, I've come to Him and repented of the wrong that I've done. It says His blood will work a perfect cure. It'll cleanse the heart, and His blood does something else. It helps to keep it pure. The blood, the precious blood of Jesus. Let's go to Colossians. Because, you know, we want to see these verses and realize, you know what? On top of works, there is something else. It is the blood of Christ that saves me. Colossians 1 and 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, with it which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption. How did it come about? Through our good works? No. In Him we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So I'd like for us a little bit to think about a contrast of the Old Testament and the New Testament. You know what? In the Old Testament, blood was required as a sacrifice for sin. The first place that I saw it was in Leviticus. It right in the very beginning. That's where the law started being given to them, how, what they were to do. Leviticus 1 and 2. So here God's given them instruction. I've got some instruction for you to be covered for the sins that you commit. It says, speak to the children of Israel, say to them, if any of you bring an offering unto the Lord, He shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle. And it's in the fourth verse, put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, it shall be accepted to make atonement for him. You know, if you read through the Old Testament, how many times people came back with a sacrifice that was made. That remember when the priests would go into the most holy place once a year and sacrifices were made for sin, but next year you need to come back and do it again. Do we still have to do that? You know, there's many religious places that are really kind of teaching the same thing. I go back and tell the Lord I've sinned again and I need your blood to cover that. Well, there was something that was more than that. We're not living under the Old Testament anymore. So let's take a look at what we are living under. In Hebrews, it gives us some instruction. In Hebrews, the 9th chapter, and in the 22nd verse, it says, almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. You know what? Without the shedding of blood in the Old Testament, their sins were not remitted. They were not taken care of. But here's something that has happened. Look at Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and the first verse. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. You know what? The law was bringing us to something that was going to be much better. They had to go back year by year. It did not make them perfect. It didn't change it. It forgave what they did the year before. But it says, it goes on down in the 4th verse, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. So if it wasn't, what was going to be able to do it? Over in the 10th verse, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Every priest standing daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man, here's Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. I am so thankful, and I want to go back and I want to remember this, not just come Easter time, I think about it a little bit. But you know what? His blood is valuable for me day by day. That is how I am able to stay saved. In Hebrews, the 9th chapter and the 13th verse, if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified, how much more does the blood of Christ? If that was what was able to be atoned back then, how much better the blood of Christ is able to do that? I'd like for us to think about how God looks at the blood. If we went back to a picture in Exodus, the 12th chapter, you know, I don't see any instructions given in the scriptures for a sacrifice to be made until we get to Leviticus, but something had to have been given to them. There was some instruction given to them in Exodus, the 12th chapter. This is where God is speaking to Moses. The children of Israel are going to soon be taken out of Egypt. There's one last plague, and there's going to be a solution to where you won't be affected by the plague. He said, I tell you what, I'm going to pass by every house, and I'm going to be looking for something. It's going to determine whether the eldest dies in that house or not. And he was looking for something. He said, I tell you what, in this certain time you kill this lamb, you put the blood on the doorpost of it. And then he said something else. Stay behind, stay inside that house. Do not come out. Because at midnight, I'm coming by. And I am going to be looking for one thing. Did he say, okay, two things. If the blood is on the door or if you have done a lot of good works. No, it didn't say anything about anything else you did. I'm looking for one thing. And that is the blood to be on the doorpost of that house. And that you're on the inside behind that blood, you will be protected. If you're on the outside, there's not protection for it. What does that have to do with us today? I think it was a picture for me to remember how valuable the blood of Christ is. It's the same way for us today. The death angel is going to come by for each of us one day. We're going to stand before the Lord. And there's going to be something, that first thing that he will be looking for. Has the blood of Christ been applied to my heart. It isn't how much money I gave to someone that was in need, or even good deeds that I have done, and not the blood applied. I must have his blood applied to my heart. So I think of the ordinance service that we do, and when that is passed around, it's intended to remind me of the value of that blood and what it does for us. It says he took the cup and he gave thanks. Now, what would he give thanks for? You know what? He could see way out in the future. Remember that somebody has told that song before. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. I don't know how all that works, but you know what? He himself said, my blood is going to be given for the remission of sins of many. Anyone who will accept it from the time he died until today will be able to make heaven their home. Just because the blood was accepted? No, it says after you have applied it on the doors of your house, you've got something to do. Stay behind the blood. It's your protection. You know, what we want to do is as we go from here, I don't want to say, okay, Lord, I want to start looking for more careful rules in the Bible that I need to live by. That's part of it. But that is not in itself what will cause me to make heaven my home. I must have the blood of Christ applied to my heart. And you could say, yes, I got saved 25 years ago and the blood was applied. You know, it's easy to look at Exodus 12. He said the day that you're to put the blood on. And he said, that night, I'm coming. You know, it would be real easy to obey that if you believed it. Put it on. Tonight it will happen. You know where we're living today? Have the blood of Jesus applied to your heart. I'm coming again. And you're going to have to be found behind the blood. What would it have been back then if a year later, if he said, here's what you do, keep a fresh supply of blood on your doorpost. I'm coming someday. And a year passes. You know, in that scripture in Exodus, it said everybody did what he said. You know, it's pretty easy to do. If I knew that tonight at midnight, my time is coming, I would make sure I have the blood of Christ applied on my heart. But you remember the story of the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish? What caused there to be 5 foolish? Time passed by, and they let the oil leak out of their life. Throughout my life, I want to realize the blood of Christ must be applied to my heart. Not just on the day I got saved, but what is the song that we sang? The blood will work a perfect cure. It'll cleanse my heart on the day I got saved. But it also will be a part of helping me to keep it pure. And I am very thankful for that. So we find the verses that tell us it's available. That blood is available for everyone. So if you ever hear again, there's only going to be 144,000 to make heaven. You know how small a number in our day and time 144,000 is? It's a speck in the sand. This says in Revelation 22, it says, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Remember John 3:16 says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Every person you see, it's available that they be able to make heaven their home. We're going to have the blood of Christ applied to our heart. So I have a song that I'd like for us to close with. It's song number 264. Because I need to have this to help me throughout my life to remember the price that was paid. It's available for me that sin not be able to take me over at all because the blood has been applied. But you know what? I must keep a fresh supply there and I must stay behind it. One of the verses of that says, oh Christ, I can but love thee. You know what I need to do is realizing the sacrifice that he made. And it wasn't just a man that could not get away and they happened to kill him. This was the Son of God that was at creation when things were spoken into existence and he had the power to be able to call 12 legions of angels and be delivered. Instead, he said, I'm willing to die because he could look at what the value of that blood would be for us down through our life, not just to save us, but to also keep us saved. Let's stay behind that blood. O Christ, I can but love thee. What heart could ever withhold a love that cost so dearly the offering of thy soul? O King of love immortal, reign in my heart alone, and flood this earthen temple with glory from thy throne. You know, when the devil comes to us with temptations, whatever they may be, let me go back to the blood. The blood has been applied for me to be able to keep clean, not just save me, but keep me pure, and be able to meet him in peace. On the day that I stand before him, I want the blood to have been applied to the doorpost of my heart and kept fresh there. We need the blood of Christ every day to save us when we're not saved, but to keep us after we have gotten saved. I am thankful for the sacrifice that he made.